The ninth parak continues discussing the Ste'a Chuzah, which is an ancestral field, a field that is owned by somebody's family. And he sold it during the Yovel cycle, not during the Yovel year, but during the Yovel cycle. And as we've seen in the past, when it comes to the Ste'a Chuzah, that owner will get it back come the Yovel year, unless he donated it to the Beis HaMikdash. That's an exception to the rule. We're not talking about that right now. But if he sold it to somebody else, he gets it back at the Yovel year, or alternatively, before that, he can redeem it. He can redeem it for a prorated amount of the amount that he sold it for, so he can buy it back based on the number of years that has elapsed in the sale. So if 2 years passed out of 10 years, so he's going to have to pay 80% back of the purchase price. What we are going to talk about in our mission is an exception to this, that he is not permitted to purchase it back unless 2 years have already passed in the amount of time that he sold it for. So he can't, once he sells it, redeem it back if he's within those 2 years. So the Mishnah says as follows, Mishnah Aleph, HaMocher Tzadeh B'Shas HaYovel. If somebody sold his Ste'a Chuzah at a time that we are noheg to keep the Yovel, that means the majority of Jews are in the land of Eretz Yisrael, Eino Muta Legal Pachos Mishnei Shanim. He is not permitted to redeem that field back from the purchaser unless 2 years have elapsed. You can't redeem it within 2 years of the sale, and that's based on a pasuk, Shenemar b'mispar shnei tivuot yimkar lach. The number of years, of crop years, that's b'mispar shnei tivuot, that is years of crops, yimkar lach, it should be sold for. And when it says shnei, that is referring to years, but it's plural tense, so a minimum is two. So we learn from this that the sale has to be for a minimum of 2 years before somebody can redeem the field back. Continuing, if you look at the words, it says shnei tvuot, it should be based on crop years. How about it if the crops didn't grow? Are we going to still look at the two? It's 2 years, or we're going to have to give, for example, another year. If it didn't grow for a year because there was some problem, is it going to be increased to 3 years? So haisa shnas shidafon, how about those 2 years? One of the years, for example, was wind blast. Wind blast came and they destroyed the crop. V'yerakon, or alternatively, literally yellowing, because of the extreme heat, the grain dried up. Oshvis, or is a Shemitah year, you're not allowed to plant during the Shemitah year. Eina olalo min aminyan, those events are not going to count as one of the 2 years. We're going to have to give another year, a third year, because we are looking at the crop productivity and not strictly speaking at the years, because if the crops couldn't grow, then we would give another year. On the other hand, if the purchaser decided to not plant the field, it was up to him. It's not that there was some external issue that he wasn't able to plant, like the crops got ruined or it was a Shemitah year, but Nara, he simply plowed the field but never planted the field. Ohovira, he left it totally fallow. He didn't even plow the field. He just didn't do anything. In those instances, the purchaser, he purchased it. That was his option. Olalo min aminyan, those are going to count, despite the fact that he didn't grow crops, but it was his option. Those are going to count as one of the 2 years or both years. And thereafterward, the seller, the person who owns that ancestral field, who sold it during the Yovel cycle, he is going to be permitted to buy it back, even though no crops or only 1 year of crops was grown. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar comes and says as follows, Mechara lo lifnei Rosh Hashanah, v'himalei aperos. We have a situation, if somebody sold, for example, right before Rosh Hashanah, and that is the time that the field was full of fruit, so are we going to look at it based on two crops? And because you're buying it with the crop, maybe you only have to give the person, the seller can only give him for another year because he has crops now and another year of crops. Maybe you can repurchase it after a year. Are we going to look at the number of crops, or are we going to look at the number of years? You're going to still have to wait 2 years, even though that would be for three crops, because you're selling it with one crop, and then within the next 2 years, we'll have another two crops. Then the Mishnah says as follows, Mechara lo lifnei Rosh Hashanah v'imalei aperos. You sold it right before Rosh Hashanah, so you're selling the field together with it full of fruits, full of whatever grew. This person has the right to use it for three crops and 2 years. We are going to look at the number of years, and even if it is three crops, we still are going to give that purchaser the full 2 years to benefit from that field before the seller can redeem that Ste'a Chuzah. Mishnah Beis continues discussing if somebody wants to redeem the steh achuzah that he sold, and he wants to redeem it from the purchaser. So typically, the way it works is if you sold it for a certain number of years before the yovel. So let's just assume somebody sold A to B 10 years before the yovel for 100 zuz. Each year is going to be based on 10 zuz. So what it would be is if he wants to redeem it after 3 years, he's going to have to redeem it for 70 zuz. You're going to have to pay out a prorated amount for each year that is left on the term. But what happens, and this is the subject of our Mishnah, is if A sold the field to B and B didn't hold it, B actually went and sold it to C. And now A is going to go to C and redeem the field. How much does he have to pay? Now, if the sale price from A to B is equal to the sale price of B to C, you just use a prorated amount. But how about A sold to B for a certain amount and B sold to C for a higher amount or sold it for a lower amount? What is the rate that A is going to have to use in order to redeem that field back from C? So Mishnah Bei says as follows, Mechara l'rishon b'maneh. If A sold to the Rishon, which means the first purchaser, that's talking about B, for a maneh, which is 100 dinar. Umachar ha-Rishon and B, B is the first purchaser, sold it l'sheni, the second purchaser, who is C b'masayim, for 200 dinar. So B did a great job. He increased his profits. He bought it for 100. He sold it for 200. So now A wants to redeem it. He has to go to C. Is he going to redeem it for the 100 that he sold it to B or the 200 that B sold it to C? Eino mechashev ela im harishon. He only has to use the price that he sold it to the B, to the first purchaser, which is going to be the lower price. Shenemar is based on a pasuk, la'ish asher machar lo. A only has to make good and redeem the field based on the price to the person he sold it to, and that is to be, not to C. On the other hand, mechara l'rishon b'masayim, if A sold it to the first purchaser, who is B, for 200, the higher price, umachar harishon l'sheni b'maneh, and now B went and sold it to C with for a maneh, that is, instead of 200, it is going to be 100 dinar. So now he sold it for a lower price. It's the reverse of our first situation. And now A wants to come and wants to redeem it from C. In this situation, Eino mechashev ela im ha'achron. He only has to pay off C. A only has to pay off C based on the lower price, based on the 100 dinar, not based on the 200 dinar. Why is that? Shenemar le'ish asher le'ish. Is the drasha, the pasuk says, la'ish, la'ish asher besocha, you only have to pay it off to the man. It doesn't say the purchaser, your purchaser, it says the man, which is referring to a third-party purchaser, it's referring to C. That A only has to pay to C, the amount that C paid, and not the amount that B paid. So in effect, what we're saying is, and this is actually based on the limud of Gzeira Shava, A only has to pay the lower price. He only has to pay the lower price, the price between him and B and C, whatever the situation is, he is going to compute his redemption price based on the lower price always. And that is for the benefit of the seller, for the benefit of A. Continuing, we're going to have a few more halachas in relation to the redemption. So when it comes to A wanting to redeem the field from B, Lo yimkor berachok v'igol bekarav. What he's not permitted to do is to sell a field that is further away in order to redeem this field that he sold to be. Don't sell one field in order to redeem another sold field. Berav v'igol biyaf, and also don't sell a worse field to redeem a better field, or the reverse. Don't sell a closer field to redeem a farther field, or don't sell a better field to redeem a worse field. In other words, the bottom line here, based on the drush and the pasuk, don't sell one field in order to redeem a field that you already sold. And another halacha, second halacha, lo yilvev igal. If you need the money, you don't have the money in order to redeem a field that you sold, you're not permitted to take a loan in order to redeem the field. And a third halacha, v'lo yigal lachatzayim. don't redeem it partially. You only have enough money to redeem some of the field. You're not permitted. It's all or none when it comes to redeeming that field from somebody else that you sold that field for. On the other hand, if the field is not that you sold it to somebody, but you donated it to the Beis HaMikdash, that's a different story on all three of these halachas of Hekdash, Mutar, Bekulan. When it comes to Hekdash, all three of these would be Mutar. It's permitted to sell one field in order to redeem a field that you donated to the Beis HaMikdash. It's permitted to take a loan in order to redeem a field that you donate to the Beis HaMikdash. And when it comes to redeeming a field from the Beis HaMikdash, if you don't have all the money, you can do it in part. Just redeem whatever part you want to. Zechomer behedyot mevehekdash. These are examples of times when we are going to be more machmir when it comes to buying a field from somebody who is a normal person, a hedyot, a non-Beis HaMikdash, to intend to Beis HaMikdash. When it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to permit these three things. When it comes to redeeming that field from an individual non-Beis HaMikdash, we are going to be machmir in all three of these areas. Mishnah Gimel starts a set of four Mishnayos dealing with if somebody sells a house in an Ir Choma, which is a city surrounded by a wall. The Torah tells us that that seller can redeem his property, but it has a different way, different limitations, different time schedule. The person can redeem it immediately or up until a year, but not thereafterward. And if he doesn't redeem it within that year, he's not going to get it back even at the Yovel. Mishnah Gimel says as follows, Hamocher Bayis Bebate Arechom. If somebody sells a house that is located in one of the cities surrounded by the wall, Hareze Goel Miyad, he can redeem it immediately. He doesn't have to wait for 2 years, as we've seen previously. He can redeem it immediately, promptly. V'goel kol shnei masar chodesh, and he has the right to redeem it for the next 12 months. Harezik kamin ribis ve'ena ribis. And what's interesting is, if the buyer pays the seller when there's a transaction. So we have somebody buying this house, and the buyer sells it, and the buyer gets to live in that house. So the seller has the money. That's why he sold it. And the buyer uses the house, but in the end of the day, if within that year the seller redeems that property, the seller is going to have to refund the money to the buyer. So in the end of the day, the buyer gets his money back, and also the buyer had the right to use that house until it was repurchased, until it was redeemed. So effectively, what we had here was a loan from the buyer to the seller. And we had the buyer benefiting by virtue of giving that loan because he had the right to live in that house. So this is kamin ribis. This is a form of usury, which is indeed prohibited by the Torah because we had somebody giving a loan and getting a benefit. We had that buyer giving a loan to the seller and benefiting by being able to live in that house. But nonetheless, vein a ribis, but it's not a ribis. Why is it not ribis? So either because there's no ribis as part of a financial transaction. This wasn't a loan. This was a financial transaction, a purchase, a sale. And there's no ribis in that context. Or there's no ribis because the Torah permitted it in this situation. Continuing, what happens within 12 months if either the seller or the purchaser passes away? So meis hamocher, if the seller of that property passed away, and now that seller wants to redeem it within 12 months, or his son, he's no longer alive, and his son wants to redeem that property that his father sold, yigal b'no, the son has the right to redeem it as long as it's within that those 12 months. Meis halokeach, if the purchaser who's now living in the house, that purchaser passed away, so the seller wants to redeem it, yigal miyad b'no, he can redeem it from the purchaser's son. Eino mone lo shana ela misha shemachar lo. You only count the year from when it was sold. What is this coming to tell us? So what it means is if the purchaser sold it to a second purchaser, so are we going to go by counting the year when it was sold from the between the original purchaser and seller, or when the purchaser who would live there for a little bit or didn't live there for a bit sold it to the second purchaser, are we going to count it from then? So the Mishnah is telling us we're going to count it from the original sale. And it's based on the Pasuk Shenemar, Ad Milos Lo Shana Tamima, until it's a full year for him. That's talking about the seller. So right when the seller sells it, it counts a year. And if it was, even if it was sold multiple times, it doesn't matter. He only has the right to redeem it within the year of the original sale. So why does it say Tamima? Oh, the pasuk that we just read, Ad milos loshana tamima, a full year. What is that coming to add? So lahavi chodesh ha'ibor, that is coming to add on that if you have a leap year, if it's 13 months, so instead of 12 months that the seller has a right to redeem it, he has a right to redeem it for 13 months. That's the Tanakama. Rebbe Omer Yiten Loshana V'Ibura. He says that it's coming to teach us something similar but different. It's coming to teach us not only in a leap year, all the time, each and every year, we are using not the lunar year, which is 354 days, but we're using the solar year, which is 365 days. So the word Tamima is coming to add on to us another 11 days that seller has the right to redeem that property. So it's within the solar year, 365 days, that he has a right to repurchase that property, and thereafter he loses that ability. Mishnah Dalet comes to teach us if the seller did not redeem the house that he sold in the walled city within 12 months, what would happen at that point? So Mishnah Dalet says as follows, Higia yom 12 chodesh v'lo nigal. Comes 12 months, they pass by 12 full months, and there was no redemption by the seller of that property. Hayachalut lo, it becomes the purchaser's property, it becomes his possession permanently. And this applies, echad alokeach v'echad shnitan lo matana. This applies whether there is a buyer, somebody who purchased the property, or somebody who received it as a gift. After 12 months, if the original owner does not repurchase it or reclaim it, that is going to be owned fully by the purchaser or the recipient of the gift, because the pasuk says in Emar latzmitzus, tzmitut means forever, but it's because it didn't say it in a different form, letzamit, but it says it latzmitut, that means that it is going to be for permanently, forever, it's going to be held and owned and be a possession of the purchaser or the recipient of a gift. Now, what would happen, says the Mishnah, is Barishona Hayan Nitman Yom Shneimasar Chodesh Yechalula. Originally, the buyer who didn't want the seller to come and redeem it at the end of 12 months, so that buyer on the last day, he had a foreboding that the seller would come and redeem that property, so he would hide. That's what the word chalud means. He would hide. He would not be found anywhere, and based on that, because the seller couldn't find the purchaser, he wouldn't be able to redeem the property. Accordingly, Hiskin Hillel HaZaken, Hillel HaZaken instituted Shiei Cholesh et Ma'osa Belishka. The seller could go and deposit the repurchase amount in the Lishka. It's Machlokis, is that a Lishka, the office of the Beis HaMikdash, or is it a Beisin? But either way, you don't have to find the buyer in order to redeem the property. The original owner wants to redeem it, could simply deposit the money in the Lishka via Shover Sadelas Venichnas. As soon as he deposits the money, that is going to be his property, even if the buyer is hiding somewhere, and he could break down the door and enter. It's his property. He repurchased it. Amos Ashiyir Tzahala, and any time that the buyer wants to pick up his money, Yavav Yitol Esmaosov, he can go to the Lishka of the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis Din, and pick up his money, but he no longer owns that property. Mishnah comes to teach us what types of real estate within the walled city are included in these halachas, that if somebody sells it, he has only a year to repurchase it, and thereafter he loses it. He can never get back that property. So on the one hand, this is a little bit complicated because the pasuk that deals with this, it's Vayikra Chafei Pasuk Lam, it says, V'kam habayis asher ba'ir asher lo choma litzmitus. On the one hand, it says it applies only to houses. If somebody sells a house within an ir choma, within a walled city, then he only has a year, but we can learn from that if it's not a house, for example, if it's a wash house, an olive press, an office, other types of real estate, if you sell it, it's not going to be limited to the year. But on the other hand, it also says asher be'ir, as long as it's within the city, it doesn't matter the type of the real estate. So on the one hand, bayis is limiting, and ba'ir is very inclusive. So the Mishnah tells us as follows, there are certain things, many things are included in these halachas that you only have a year, but also there's a certain thing that is going to be excluded because they're not, it's not an item that people use for their personal needs. So the Mishnah says as follows, kol shehu lifnim min hachoma, anything that is within the wall, and that means all types of real estate, a bathhouse, olive press, an office, etc. Harehu kepate arei choma, we're going to treat it just like a house that is in a walled city. The year requirement is going to apply. with the exclusion of chutz min hasados, we are going to exclude fields. A field is not similar to a house. And accordingly, because it's not similar to a house, if somebody sells fields within the city walls, within the confines of the city, it's not going to be limited by the year repurchase. We're not going to treat that like a house. On the other hand, we have a shita, Rabbi Meir Omer, af hasados, it applies even to sados. Now, Rabbi Meir is not saying sada, fields that you grow in. For example, I have an orchard inside the city, so it's also going to be subject to the 1 year, because in fact, the Pasuk does says, v'kam habayis, it has to be a house or house-like. So what Rabbi Meir is saying, he agrees with the Tanakhama, if it's just a regular field that you plant in, that is not going to be limited by the 1 year requirement to repurchase, because that's not similar to a bayis, it's not similar to a house. What he's simply saying is, if you have the type of an open field that is used to quarry building supplies, for example, you quarry stones to be used in building, whatever it may be, it's building supplies, that is similar enough to a bayis to be included in the 1 year. But if it's simply a sada, the field that you grow in, even Rabbi Meir would agree that it's not going to be like a house. It's not going to be like a house. You're not going to be limited by the 1 year repurchase requirement. Continuing, how about if you have a bayis habanui b'choma? If you have a wall, and when we're talking about a walled city, we're not talking about a small, narrow wall. We're talking about a very thick wall. So you can actually build apartments in the wall itself, houses in the wall itself, because it's very thick. So how about if somebody has a house in the wall itself? So it's not literally within the city. It's not Asher Be'ir, it's not in the city itself, but it's within the confines of the walls of the city. So this is going to be a machlokis. Bayis habanui b'chom, if you have a house built in the wall itself, the thick wall, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Gabate Arechoma, it's not going to be treated like a house that's within the confines of the city. It's not within the city, it's in the wall of the city, and it's not going to have this 1 year limitation that the seller has to repurchase within that year. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kosel Hachitzon Hichomaso, if you look at it, we are looking at the outside wall around the city, and an apartment or house that is built into the wall, as long as it's within the outside confines, the outside wall, that is still considered within the wall, and accordingly, just like other houses are subject to the 1 year repurchase requirement, so too, an apartment, a house that is built into the wall is also going to be subject to that requirement. It's going to be treated for all halachas as if it's within the confines of a walled city. Mishnah Vav teaches us what types of walls are required in order to be considered subject to the halachas of an bate ir choma, a house or other piece of real estate, as we discussed in the prior Mishnah, that is subject to the halachas of repurchase within a year, repurchase or lose it. So the Mishnah says as follows, Mishnah Vav, ir shegagosea chomasa, if we have a city literally that its roof is its wall. This is talking about that you don't have a specially built wall around the city, but you simply have a ring of houses that are really closely built together. They're right next to each other. So their walls and their roofs going around make up the wall around the city. So it's not a special wall. It's simply by default how the houses were built that you have a wall around that city. Or v'she'ena mukefes choma milmos Yeshua binun, or it didn't have the wall from the time that Yeshua and Klal Yisrael came into the land, conquered the land of Israel. When we entered the land, that is the litmus test. But if it wasn't a ir choma, if it didn't have a wall around it, when Klal Yisrael entered into the land of Israel, led by Yeshua binun, in both of those instances, it doesn't have a specially built wall, or the wall did not exist at the time of Yeshua binun. Eina kebate arechomad is not considered a city that has a wall for purposes of the halachas that we are discussing. And now the Mishnah says, what are some of the requirements? Ve'elu hen batei arei choma, what is considered a city that has a wall around it? So we're going to talk about two specific requirements. One is going to be the size of the city, and number two is going to be what we just mentioned before, when that wall had to have been built in order to be considered a bayis for the ir choma, an ir choma for purposes of our halacha. So the size, when it comes to the size of the city, shalosh chatzeros shal shnei bantim, it has to be, and this is how they used to build at the time of Chazal, they used to build around a courtyard. There was a courtyard and you had houses around the courtyards, and it's actually a little bit more complicated than that, as discussed in Masechet Eir. Kerevin, but for our purposes, you had two chatzeros. You'd have a minimum of two courtyards and, a minimum of three courtyards, shalosh chatzeros, and around each of the three courtyards, you needed a minimum of two houses. So that would be a total of six houses that are built, and you have the wall around it. So that is going to be requirement number one, three chatzeros, three courtyards, each one having two houses on it. And in addition, as we mentioned before, when did that wall have to be built? It had to be that they were already built when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael from the Midbar at the time of Yeshua Binun. And now the Mishnah is going to list a number of examples of cities that fit these requirements. Kigon, Katsra HaYishana Shal Tzipori, that's the name of Katsra Yishana, around the area of Tzipori, V'chagra Shal Gush Chalav, and also Yodfas HaYishana, and also V'gamla, Ugedod, Vechadir, Veono, all of these are on the list that fit all the requirements. And then, and it says Yushalayim, the Bartanura says it's not talking about the Yushalayim, the old city of Yushalayim. There was another place that was called Yushalayim in Eretz Yisrael. That's what it's talking about, because the Yushalayim, our Yerushalayim, is not subject to these halachas, limited by a one-year repurchase. So it's talking about the other Yerushalayim, and then the Mishnah concludes, V'chein kol kiyotze bahen, and the same would apply to any other similar cities that have the three chatzeres, three courtyards, two houses on each, and the wall was built at the time, from the time, at least at the time of Yemosia, at the time of Yeshua Binun, those would all be considered a Ir Choma for purposes of the halachas that we are talking about. Mishnah Zayin goes on to discuss the third type of property that is sold in the land of Israel, and we're now going to talk about houses, but not like we just discussed houses in an Ir Choma, a walled city, but we're going to talk about houses in an unwalled city. And in fact, the Mishnah is going to compare the two. It's actually going to compare the three different types of properties that we have seen. So it goes as follows. Bate ha-chatzerim, houses of unwalled cities. When somebody sells it, what's his ability to repurchase it? So the Mishnah says, nosnim lahem koach hayafe shebabate arei choma. We're going to give it the preferences, the strengths of repurchase. That's to the seller. That exist for when he sells a house on an Ir Choma, a walled city, and also the Koach HaYafe Shebesadus. We're also going to give the advantages of when somebody sells a Stei Achuza, which was the ancestral field that is owned by somebody going back to the time of Yeshua Binun. So we're going to give the advantages of each of those two types of properties that we have already discussed. Now we're going to spell that out as follows. Nigalim Miyad, when somebody sells a house in an unwalled city, is going to have the right to repurchase it immediately. He sold it, he changes his mind, same day he can repurchase it. And in addition, v'nigalin kol shneim asar chodesh, and he can also repurchase it for the next 12 months after he sold it, kibatim, just like we had with when he sells a house on an Ir Choma. So he's going to have those advantages, but there's yet even more. In addition, v'yotzim b'yovel, he is going to receive it at the yovel if he did not redeem it earlier. And in addition, if he wants to redeem it earlier, uvegiron kesef, he's going to be able to repurchase it on a prorated basis, not only in the first year, but throughout, all the way up until the yovel, he's going to have a right to repurchase it. So when we combine the advantages of these two, it turns out that he's able to repurchase it immediately. He's able to repurchase it in the first year. That's like the Bate Arechoma. And in addition, he can get it back at the Yovel. If he doesn't redeem it, then he can redeem it from the end of the first year all the way up to the Yovel year. Kesados. That is like the Stei Achuza. Stei Achuza, you have the right to repurchase it all the way up until the Yovel as well. So we have the advantages of all of those. The Eluhen Bate Chatzeri. Now that we've said, we're talking about, if somebody sells a house that is in an unwalled city, what does that mean, an unwalled city? So it's going to be interesting. Certainly if you don't have a wall, even if it's a very large city, that is an unwalled city. But if you have a wall around your city and it's very small on the inside, as we'll explain shortly, that will also be an unwalled city. So the Mishnah says as follows, Ve'eluhen batei chatzeirin, assuming you have a wall, what is something going to be categorized still as an unwalled city because it's too small? Shtei chatzeiro shel shnei batim. We're talking about if there are only two chatzeiros, two courtyards within that walled city, two courtyards and two houses on each. That's not going to be sufficient to be called a walled city. Afal bishem ukafi in chomim yos Yeshua binun, even if it has a wall, and the wall has been there all the way from the time of Yeshua binun when Klal Yisrael entered the land of Canaan, it doesn't matter. Hare elu kevate chatzeir, and that is going to be considered an unwalled city because that city is not large enough, the tiny village is not large enough, even though it is a wall, and it's going to have the halachas, as we discussed in the reisha of this mishnah, it's going to have all the advantages of being able to repurchase basically at any time, and if you don't repurchase it by the yovel, that will automatically return to the seller. Mishnah Ches goes on to discuss another form of ownership or location of ownership of property. We're now going to talk about the cities that were given to the Levim when Klal Yisrael came into the land of Israel. The Levim, the Kohanim, they were not giving their own portion in the land of Israel, but what they were allocated were 48 cities designated for Levim and Kohanim. And as we'll discuss later in the Mishnah, there was actually an area around it as well to beautify the city and to plant around the city. And what we'll talk about is if we have a walled city, not of Yisraelim, we talked about that, if it's owned by Yisraelim and if somebody sells his property, he can only repurchase it within a year. And if he doesn't repurchase it within a year, he cannot get his property back. We're going to talk about a walled city, but the walled cities of the Levim. In that situation, if a Levi or a Kohen sells their property, what's going to happen? And we'll see that in fact, there's no 1 year limitation that you have to repurchase it within a year. Even if they don't repurchase it within a year, they can still repurchase it thereafterward. Now, what's going to get complicated is that's talking about a city of Levim, a Levi, a Yisrael. But how about if you have a city of Levim and you had a Yisrael that owns a piece of real estate? He received it as inheritance. And we'll see, for example, that somebody had a maternal grandfather. The grandfather only had a daughter, not a son. And when the grandfather passed away, the daughter receives the Yerusha that includes the property in that Ir Choma of Levim. And what happens if she was married to Yisrael? So the child that they have, that's the grandchild of the grandfather, the grandchild is a Yisrael. And now when the mother passes away, that Yisrael receives the Yerusha in the land of, in the city of Levim. What happens if he sells it? Are we going to treat it like any other sale of an Ir Choma of Yisraelim? Because he's a Yisrael and he has to repurchase it within a year. Or are we going to treat it like a purchase of, by a Levi, a sale by a Levi or a Kohen in a city of Levim, that you don't have this limitation of having to repurchase it within a year? So the Mishnah says as follows, Yisrael, Shiyarash Avi Imo Levi. If we have a Yisrael and he received an inheritance from his maternal grandfather who was a Levi. So we have the Yisrael now, it's in the city of all city of Levim, but he's the Yisrael. And he sold that property, Eino Goel Kaseder Hazek. He will not be able to redeem it like this Seder. It's the Gemara changes that he cannot be Goel except Ella Kaseder, as it's talking about that he has to redeem it based on its being a Bate Ir Choma of non-Levim, which means he is going to be capped by the 1 year. If he redeems it within the year, he can get his property back. Otherwise, he cannot get his property back. We're not going to treat him like a Levi in a city of Levim. We're going to treat him like Yisrael in a city of Yisraelim, and he has to repurchase within a year. And similarly, V'chein Levi, Shiyara says, Avi Imo Yisrael. If we have a Levi, and he received an inheritance from his maternal grandfather, who was Yisrael. And it's really the reverse situation. We had a Yisrael, and he didn't have any sons. He had a daughter, and the daughter married a Levi. And when she passes away, their son will receive their inheritance. Their son is a Levi, but it's in a city in Ir Choma of Yisraelim. So is he going to be capped at 1 year to repurchase it, treat him like Yisrael in a city of Beit Chomo Yisrael, or we're going to treat him like a Levi in the city of Levim? So again, Eino Goel Kaseder Zeh, again, the Gemara changes this, Eino Goel Ela Kaseder Zeh, meaning in both of these situations, whether we have a Yisrael owning property in a city of Levim, or if we have a Levi or Kohen owning property in a city of walled city of Yisraelim. Either way, they are going to have to redeem it within a year. They're going to have to kaseder, as that means within a year, and we're not going to treat it like a Levi in a city of Levim, that they're not going to be capped by that year. Shenemar, we learn it in Apostle Kibate Arei HaLevim. It's actually there are two parts of the pasuk, and we learn from each of them something different. We have two conditions: Achie Levi Uba Arei HaLevim Divi Rebbe. In order to not have to repurchase a property within the first year, that requires two things. Number one, the original owner has to be the Levi, the one who sold it, who wants to redeem it. And also it has to be in an Arei HaLevim. It has to be in a city of Levim. If you only have one of those conditions, you're going to have to be redeeming that property that you sold within a year. So in order to not be capped at 1 year, it has to be the original owner who sold that property is a Levi, and it's in an ear of Levim. That is the opinion of Rebbe v'Chachamim. I mean, they disagree. Ein advarim amurim ela ba'arei HaLevim. This requirement or the dispensation of not having to repurchase within a year, that applies in Arei HaLevim. So they're saying even if it's a Yisrael, that grandson is a Yisrael that received the Yerusha, but that property is in an Arei HaLevim, he too is not going to be capped at a year. He's going to be able to redeem that property that he sold there afterward as well, because we only care about the location. If the location is an Ir HaLevim, even if it's a Yisrael that is owning the property there, he is going to not be capped at 1 year in order to repurchase that field, that residence that he sold within that walled city. Now we're going to have a comment on urban planning and just a little bit background, the way that the cities were built at the time that the Klal Yisrael went into the land of Israel, and this is reflected in the Psukim of giving the cities to the Levim, but it applied to all urban planning, not only a city of Levim. Is that you had your city, and we'll call that the ear. And around the city, you had a strip, and let's think of it as circles. You had a circle in the city, and then around it, you have a strip that's 1,000 amos wide. We'll go with Shitas Rashi. That's called the Migrash. It was an unplanted area, and it was left that way to beautify the city. And then thereafterward, we have another of the concentric circles, another circle around. That's called the Sada. That was where they planted around the city. So for the Levim, they got not only the city, but 2,000 amos around. The first 1,000 amos around was a Migrash, was the unplanted area, and another was a Sada. This existed also for non-Levim as well. So ain't osim Sada Migrash v'lo Migrash Sada. We are not allowed to interchange the uses of those properties. So if you have the Sadet, that is the planted field, the most outer of the concentric circles, you can't turn that into a Migrash, into unplanted, V'lo Migrash Sadet, or the reverse, you can't do as well, V'lo Migrash Ir, V'lo Ir Migrash. Also, when we have the Migrash, that first concentric circle around the city, the unplanted area, you cannot build the city there, and you can't do the reverse as well. You can't have more Migrash, unplanted area, where you should have a city. So we keep those areas, the ear, Migrash, and the Sada, we keep them separate. Don't mix, don't make changes. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, B'medivrei Morim, what are we talking about? That it's based on Psukim, you're not allowed to make these changes. Ba'arei HaLevim. He's of the view that it only applies to the Arei HaLevim, not everyone. The Tanakhama says it applies whether it's an ear of Levim or whether it's an ear of Yisraelim. It doesn't matter. We're going to have to stick with the uses, those three separate uses. But here we have Rabbi Eliezer saying that strict definition of land uses that applies only if it's an ear of Levim. Aval Ba'ara Yisrael, we're going to have a different set of laws if it's a city. Non-Levim city, Osim Sada Migrash V'lo Migrash Sada. You can make the Sada, which is the outer area, the field area, into a Migrash, into an unplanted area, V'lo Migrash Sada, but not the reverse. We want to beautify the city, but we want to keep also the use of the city intact. So we don't want to infringe on the inner circle. So we cannot change the Migrash to become a Sada, but we can do the reverse. And in addition, Migrash, Ir V'lo Ir Migrash. And when we have the Migrash, we can build the city out into the Migrash area, But we cannot take away from the city area and make the Migrash larger. What's the concept here? What's going on here? In other words, we're putting the focus on the inner area is more important. So the ear is more important than the Migrash, and the Migrash is more important than the Sada. And the concept is, this is a rabbinic concept, applying it to the cities of non-Levim, Kedei Shelo Yacharivu as Arei Yisrael. So we shouldn't literally destroy the cities of Israel. We have to have the ability to expand and build the cities. We should not make them smaller. We shouldn't be demolishing houses. We should be able to grow the cities, and accordingly we can grow outward, but we should not limit the cities and make them smaller than they originally were. And now we have just a final statement when it comes to the houses and fields in cities of the Levim. So Hakonim v'Halavim mochrim la'olam. If you have a Kohen, you have a Levi, that they own property in one of those cities that were designated for the Levim, they can sell that property at any time. V'go'alim la'olam, they can redeem it at any time, even within the first 2 years. And even after the first year, we've seen various limitations when it comes to different types of land ownership. Do you have to redeem it after the first 2 years? Could you have to redeem it in the first year? When it comes to Kohanim and Levim selling their properties in the year Levim, they don't have those limitations. They can sell and redeem at any point. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Geulas Olam Tiela Levim, the Geula, the redemption of their property, can be at any point. Levim includes Kohanim, it means both of them. So if you have a Levi or a Kohen that sells a property in these Are Levim, they would be permitted to redeem it at any time. And Mazel Tov on completing the Masechta of Erechin.